There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, and a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burdens God has put on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Whatever is has already been and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account.
Thank you, Taylor. Thank you so much, Taylor. Lovely to see you all. And David's mine. Look at this, a box of chocolates. Does that excite you as you sit there? So because the topic I've been given today, it was not of my choosing, but I like it. Life is like a box of chocolates is our text for today. So I've never preached on a quote from a movie before. So it's from the movie Forrest Gump. And I want us to wrestle with what that means to start with, and then I'll show you how the Bible reflects something of the same sentiment. So we'll wrestle it through from the Bible, so it's not a sermon on a movie today, although we'll make lots of reference to the movie. But if you haven't ever seen the movie Forrest Gump, I'm really sad for you, but don't worry too much, because I'm just using some ideas from there to illustrate the point along the way. But basically, Forrest Gump's about this guy from America who's got a very low intelligence. He barely scrapes into school, and yet he's got a profound attitude to life and a profound wisdom to life in his simplicity and his kindness and his generosity. And we'll hear a little bit about that along the way. But how about I show you a quote, where the quote comes from, and then I'm going to get you to discuss what it means. So here it is. Have a listen.
Hello. My name's Forrest. Forrest Gump. You want a chocolate? I could eat about a million and a half of these. My mama always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Okay, so there it is. Mama always said life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Have a word to the person next to you. What do you think that means? What's the wisdom behind that little quote? Have a quick word. I might even give you a chocolate if you come up with a good answer. So there's an incentive. I'll get you to take a microphone to a couple of people to get answers.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then I'll stay up here. But stay in front of those speakers, otherwise you'll cause feedback. Yeah, so do it in the front here. Okay, I'm keen to get a couple of answers. All right, over here, Cameron. He's got his hand up. If it's worthy of a chocolate, he might get one.
Well, my first question is, where did you get Forrest Gump's shirt from?
Oh, right, yeah. Very funny, yeah. Well, it is true, yeah. It's a very deliberate strategy.
We can plan all we want to do, but life doesn't necessarily turn out for all the planning we do. It's God
Okay, so we can plan all we want to, but life doesn't necessarily turn out the way we want it to. It's God's will. So, that good answer? Yeah, okay. So I'll give him a chocolate, but I'm going to reach in randomly, right? What's your favourite chocolate, Cameron? What's that? Turkish Delight? No, it's not. It's a strawberry or something like that. So there you go. Did you miss that? Someone will get it for you. All right, okay, next answer. Thomas. Okay, that's an interesting spin on it. What do you think there's truth to that? No, some of you don't. So the idea is, you approach a box of chocolates and you think, I've got my favourites. So Michael's is Turkish. What's your favourite?
Caramello.
So Caramello, Michael's is Turkish Delight, so is Cameron's. And so you reach in, I'll give you a chocolate for that, and random. And it is actually a toffee, so pretty close to Caramello. Well done. But the idea is, you reach in, you don't know what you're going to get, but Thomas's point is that they're all chocolate, so it's not all that bad at the end of the day. So it could be. All right, one more thought. I reckon there is an insight there, and I reckon that's certainly how Forrest approaches life. Yeah. We got one more, have we? Gravesy, yeah, if he goes in front of the speaker, you'll know it. So,
this is actually Andrew's, but she's one of the
big guys. Okay, so Andrea gets the chocolate.
There's no certainty in life.
Yeah, there's no certainty in life. Well done. What's your favourite, Andrea?
Strawberry.
I'm like God, right? I can actually choose. Oh, sorry, Julie. We didn't cover that in our OH&S policy, getting hit in the head with a chocolate. Well, oh, you'll give it back. Such kindness. Okay, yeah, so I think all those things have a truth to them. Life is unpredictable. I think we all agree with that. And there are a whole lot of experiences in life. The problem is you can't know or control what thing is coming next. It's something of, you know, a surprise. And it is true. God agrees with that. So God agrees with Forrest Gump. In fact, God came up with that long before Forrest Gump. So that passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is really speaking into this whole issue. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it describes a whole lot of life experiences. Death, birth, mourning, healing, war, peace, all those sort of things, like a whole box of chocolates, and Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says there is an appropriate time for everything. So, did you have that passage in your newsletter? You know, you've got the Bible passages with you today, so you can actually follow along if you want to. But what Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is saying is there is an appropriate time for everything. So we all love the time to dance and the time to laugh and the time to embrace and the time to love. They're the times we look forward to, right? But there is also an appropriate time to cry, an appropriate time to throw stones, an appropriate time to tear things down. And there is an appropriate time for war and appropriate time for hate. And it's interesting, this passage, Ecclesiastes 3, comes up in the movie Forrest Gump. Did you know this? Does anyone know how it comes up? In a song, right? So any of you, I can see a few who would have been around in the 60s, not that you'd remember it particularly, but some of you were there in the 60s and there was a song on this passage. Do you remember the song? Who was the song by? Oh, Peter, Paul and Mary sang it, and the Birds, I think, was. Anyway, but God wrote it, years ago. But it goes something like this. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep. I'm not very good at the last little bit, but yeah, oh yeah! And that'll be coming out on an album next week, so please buy it on iTunes. But it's interesting, the song forms an integral part of the plot line of the movie. And you see these things played out in Forrest's life. So you see A Time to be Born, and Forrest Jr. comes into the world and all the joy that comes with that. But there is also A Time to Die, and there are some tragic moments, like when Forrest's best friend Bubba dies in Forrest's arm in the Vietnam War. But it's interesting because Bubba recognises it is his time to die, and he says as he's dying, "I want to go home. It's time for me to die." Forrest's mama dies, and it's interesting, she says, dying is part of living, and Forrest reflects on this, and he goes, "Mama always said dying was a part of living," and he says, "I wish it wasn't. You know, I wish dying wasn't part of living, but Mama always said it was." And then at the end of the movie, Jenny dies, the love of Forrest's life. And with death comes a time to mourn and a time to weep. But there's also a time to laugh and a time to dance. And it was actually Forrest that taught Elvis how to dance. But you'll have to watch the movie to find out how that all works. One of the really tragic themes of the movie relates to this house where Jenny grew up. And it's a house that is haunted with terrible memories for Jenny because she was abused as a child by her father. And so it's just a place of such dark memories for her. And so when Jenny returns home as an adult, the house is now abandoned. Her father is long gone. But her instinctive reaction is to pick up rocks and start throwing them at the house. Just these feelings of anger and rage and injustice. And just as the Ecclesiastes 3 says, there is a time to cast stones. There is a time when that's a right response, you know, at injustice or whatever. There is a time when it's right to hate. But it's interesting, when there's no more stones, Jenny falls to the ground and weeps. And Forrest has this beautiful little comment, and he says, "Sometimes there just aren't enough rocks," right? And it's just such a profound little insight that there are some injustices and some wrongs that are done that just can't be righted, even if you throw 100 rocks at it. There's just damage that is done that is irreparable. Sometimes, I guess, there just aren't enough rocks. And so there is a time to hate, right? Hate ought not to be our default response, but when terrible abuse and wrong is done, if we respond with apathy, that is a bad response. There is a time when our hearts should burn with a sense of injustice and even hate when terrible deeds are done by those who should have protected someone to actually abuse someone. And so at the end of the movie, Forrest demolishes this house. And we realise there is a time to tear things down just as there is a time to build. A couple of other couplets, right? There is a time to speak and a time to remain silent. And it takes wisdom to know which is which, doesn't it? So I want to ask you, talk to the person next to you. When is it inappropriate to be silent? When is it inappropriate to speak? Does that question make sense? Do you get the question? When is it inappropriate to speak? When is it inappropriate to remain silent? Have a quick word to the person next to you. See if you're wise about these things. Okay, so when is it wrong? When is it wrong to remain silent? Any thoughts? That captured it beautifully. So when injustice is done, if just people stand around and say nothing, that is wrong. When injustice is done, courageous people need to stand up and say something to call it to account. So there is a time when it is wrong to be silent. There is a time to speak. When is it a time to remain silent? What time is it when it's inappropriate to speak? Did you come up with anything there? When someone's hurting. Yeah, you come into a situation, They're hurting. You don't know exactly what's going on. Sometimes you want to say something, but sometimes it's just best to say nothing. You know, stepping into a situation of grief and great confusion, you instinctively want to fix it, but sometimes just putting an arm around, sitting with them, taking some time before you speak is the wisest course of action. So it's a lot of wisdom there, isn't there? Discerning what time is it? Is it a time to speak? And I'm so often stepping in the wrong direction on this. You know, you say something, then you think, you dill David Sheath. This is a time for silence, and you just can't shut your mouth. You had to say something, didn't you? Yes. Anyway, I'm not. All these things are flooding into my head right now, and it won't help you for me to unpack it all. So, it is true. There's a time for everything, an appropriate time. So even things as sad as hate and war and, you know, throwing stones, all those sort of things, there is a right time for those things. Our problem is this. There is a time for everything, but we don't always know what time it is. And that's where wisdom comes in, isn't it? To actually discern what is appropriate for this particular moment. It comes up in the movie Forrest Gump because the Vietnam War, they're in the midst of the Vietnam War. And the whole question over the Vietnam War is, was it a time for war or was it a time for peace? Should America have even been engaged in this battle or should they have refrained? What is the wisdom of the Vietnam War? Now, it's no easy question, right? And you'll have your theories and your ideas, but it's interesting, in the lead up to World War II, during the rise of Nazi Germany, right? So Hitler was on the rise. 1938, the British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain goes over to Europe, meets with Adolf Hitler in Munich, I think it was. They sign a peace agreement. And he comes home, and there's a picture of him here, comes home waving this bit of paper in front of the British press saying, I have signed a declaration of peace with Adolf Hitler, and he said these words, I believe it is peace in our time. Right? And he had a right heart, right? It is right to desire peace. The problem when you come across someone like Adolf Hitler is he's not a man to be negotiated with. So within a year, the Nazi tanks rolled into Poland, and it became very clear very quickly that it was a time for war, not a time for peace. As much as people desired peace, this was the right time for war. Peace would only come 6 years later when Hitler was defeated and the laydown of arms. I want you to have a look at verses 10 and 11. Have a look at there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I hope you really appreciate this passage. It's just a really thought-provoking, insightful passage. It says in verse 10, I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. There you go, Thomas. Right? It's all chocolates, right? There's a beauty about everything. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Now, these are profound words, well worth reflecting on. There is a time for everything. God has placed this sense of eternity, a sense of an overarching purpose. We have that in our hearts. The problem is we just can't see the bigger picture. So we see all these random events happening and we have a sense that there's an overarching purpose to them all, but we just can't discern how they're connected. We can't discern that bigger picture. I want to give you an illustration from way back. 25 years ago, I used to be a civil engineer. Can you believe it was 25 years ago? Some of you are really surprised because you thought I'd be in primary school at that point, right? 25 years ago. But I was a civil engineer out in the field. I was near the abattoirs at Homebush. And we were driving across this paddock doing some surveying. But it was interesting. So it was just this stubbly, grassy sort of paddock. But then you're driving across this section of paddock and it seemed to have this red tinge to it. And then you go a bit further and there's this yellow tinge and then this blue tinge. And it was almost imperceptible. So it wasn't completely obvious, but you could discern something was going on. But from ground level, you just couldn't make sense of it. It was only about a month later when I was on a plane from Sydney to Melbourne and the plane banked over Homebush. And do you know what it was? Look down out of the window of the plane. Come on, it's 1992. It was the Sydney Olympic logo. It wasn't the rings. It was some sort of wiggly thing for the Sydney Olympic Games. From the sky, you thought, oh, wow, that's so clear and so obvious. It makes so much sense. But from ground level, you just couldn't see the bigger picture. I think Ecclesiastes is describing that sort of reality, and that is we see enough to have a sense that there is a bigger picture. We have this instinctive thing on our hearts that God, there's an overarching purpose. There is a God, He has a purpose for us, but I just can't discern what that looks like day to day and how all the events of my life connect together. I think that's what Forrest's mama was expressing when she said life is like a box of chocolates. So I want to show you another clip. You've been looking forward to one of these. So here you go. Another clip from the movie Forrest Gump.
I didn't know it, but I was destined to be your mama. I did the best I could.
You did good.
Well, I happen to believe you make your own destiny. You have to do the best with what God gave you.
What's my destiny, Mom?
You're gonna have to figure that out for yourself. Life is a box of chocolates, Forrest. You never know what you're gonna get.
Mama always had a way of explaining things so I could understand them.
I will miss you, Forrest.
She had got the cancer and died on a Tuesday. I bought her a new hat with little flowers on it. And that's all I have to say about that.
Oh, there's such lovely moments, aren't they? Many of you are going to go out and hire the movie tonight, aren't you? You just can't help yourself. I've been watching it this week, so it's good. So Mama was expressing this truth that life feels random. You don't know what's going to come next, but she also believed in destiny, in a God-given destiny. Now, Lieutenant Dan, on the other hand, here's Lieutenant Dan. He started out believing in God and destiny. And he was fighting in the Vietnam War, and remember, there was an explosion. His legs were blown off. And he thought it was his God-given time to die. And then Forrest comes along and picks him up and rescues him, and he's saying, "Leave me to die. This is my time to die, my God-given time to die." He wanted to die as a hero on the battlefield. But Forrest rescued him, and for the next decade or so of his life, he just was bitter. Bitter towards Forrest, but even more bitter towards God. Because it's like God had ripped him off. God had deprived him of what he thought was his God-given destiny. And so there was just this anger and resentment towards God. Now, it is interesting. There is closure, because Lieutenant Dan does find peace with God. He does resolve it with God. But I want to show you one final scene right at the end of the movie, just after Jenny dies. So Jenny's Forrest's the love of his life. He marries Jenny in the end. Sorry to give that away if you haven't seen it. And here is Forrest at the graveside.
"You died on a Saturday morning. I had you placed here under a tree. And I had that house that your father bulldozed to the ground. Mama always said dying was a part of life. I sure wish it was. I don't know if Mama was right if it's Lieutenant Dan. I don't know if we each have a destiny or if we're all just floating around accidental like on a breeze.
Okay, so I cut that short, but see the big question that Forrest is grappling with there at that point. So he's come; he knows that life is like a box of chocolates. You can't control or predict what's going to come next. But is Mama right? Right? Is there a destiny? Is there a purpose to our lives? A God-given destiny, or is Lieutenant Dan right that life has no purpose, that we are just a feather floating on a breeze? Is everything just an accident? Or to pose the question for us, is the Bible right? Is the Bible right to say there is a creator God who made us for a purpose? And although we can't necessarily discern all the details of that, there is an overarching purpose and goal to our lives. Is that why we have this innate sense of meaning to our lives? Or are the atheists right, who say there is no God, life is completely accidental, there is no overarching purpose in life? Who is right? How do you work out the answer to that question? Is there a destiny to life? Or is it merely accidental? Well, come to this second passage from Acts chapter 17, and I think it helps point us in the right sort of direction. So Paul, the apostle, is standing in Athens, right? Athens was the intellectual academic heart of the ancient world. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, that was their academic home. Athens was a place where they were searching for answers to the meaning of life, the universe, and everything. Paul stands up and declares a number of things. Firstly, he says there is a creator God. Have a look at verse 24. Can you just show us on the screen? First point, God has revealed our ultimate destiny. First thing, there is a creator God, verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Secondly, he says, God is in control of our destiny. We are not in control, but God is. Verse 26, from one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. Third thing, God, our creator, wants us to seek relationship with him. Verse 27, God did this so that they would seek him, perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Fourthly, our ultimate destiny. The ultimate end point for us will be decided by God on that day we all stand before him. Verse 30, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. And it's talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And the final point, the resurrection of Jesus is God's proof of the coming judgment. So you ask the question, well, how do we know we will one day stand before God? How do we know that we will one day give an account to him? God saying the resurrection of Jesus is my declaration to the world that that day is coming. And now is the time to prepare for that day. And God gives us every opportunity to come to him now, receive forgiveness and a right standing on that day. But that day is coming. So, Come back to our question. How do you work out whether Mama was right or Lieutenant Dan? Is there a destiny, or is life merely a series of unconnected accidents? The resurrection of Jesus is the place to begin your search. Because what the Bible's saying is that here is the key piece of evidence that God has given us. Jesus rose again from the grave. And not only did that happen in a very public setting, but many eyewitnesses wrote down what they saw, wrote down their experience so that it could be passed on to us. God has given great attestation to this historical event so that we now, 2,000 years, can investigate the claims of Jesus' resurrection. So just to wrap up, I want to ask you, what do you believe, right? Life is like a box of chocolates, right? And I would be surprised if anyone disagrees with that now that you know what we're talking about, right? There is an unpredictability about what is coming next in life. You can't control it. You can't even know exactly what it's going to be. We can agree on that, but do you believe the events of your life are simply a series of disconnected accidents that have no overarching purpose? Now, if you believe that, have you ever taken the time to investigate the claims of Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection? Because what God is saying is that's where I have revealed myself most clearly. So that you don't need to be left in the dark about these things. You can know something of your destiny because I've revealed it in Jesus. I want to just invite you, perhaps it is no accident that you are here today. You might have been dragged here by a friend or a family or whatever, but perhaps it is no accident. Perhaps this is part of God's destiny for you, that here is the start of your search, the start of your journey. And we'd love to help you on that journey for discovering the truth about these things. They are the most important questions in life. Maybe you might believe in destiny. You might believe that there is an overarching purpose to your life. You just don't know what it is. Now, again, we want to help you discover it. And we believe we have, in the Bible and in the accounts of Jesus, access to the mind of God on these things so that we can know everything that God has revealed about these things so that you can live your life confident of what your purpose of life is. And again, we'd love to invite you to look at these things with us. Michael's going to tell us about how we can do that in just a moment. Or today you might go, yeah, I've been distant from God. He wants relationship with me and he wants me to embrace his purpose for my life. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, today is a great day to set the account straight with God, to actually say, yes, please, God, help me as I take my steps towards you. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Will you pray with me? God, our Father, we do want to thank you so much that your word contains so much wisdom about life. We know that there is a time for everything and that you have made everything beautiful in its time. But Father, there are many of us here who are uncertain about these things, who have not yet become convinced even that there is a God or that there is a day when we will stand before you. Father, we pray that you'll plant in their hearts a desire to find out more. And that in that journey you will reveal yourself to them. Father, for any here who have been resisting coming to you, resisting getting right with you, we pray that today might be a starting point, that today you will turn hearts towards yourself. We want to thank you so much that you warn us of the day to come, but that you also prepare us for that day through the Lord Jesus and the forgiveness and the eternal life that is on offer through him. So we pray that all of us will embrace that, come to know it, be convinced of it, and embrace it. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.